Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have to rise above challenges and find strength in the midst of adversity.
We are in a battle of good versus evil.
Satan is the father of confusion.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to keep calling them out.
They're berserk trying to disarm Americans, and we need to push back.
I'm glad you're fighting for America.
There's always hope.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. We have an amazing show for you today. Make sure you stick around to the end because I have some breaking news that I can't wait to share with you. But first, President Biden continues to avoid taking responsibility for our nation's border crisis. He's refusing to take any executive actions that he could, and he's just relying on it just magically happening. Take a listen.
Counting on the border action happened by itself, the passing it.
But Congress can't come to an agreement.
Well, they haven't yet. They haven't yet. I'm helping them.
Our nation is vulnerable, which is a slap in the face to the millions who have sacrificed years and even their own lives to protect this once great nation. Like our next guest, a former Navy SEAL, FBI agent, and the author of Sheep No More, Jonathan Gillam. Jonathan, welcome.
It's good to be on. It's an honor to be on here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. So what is your reaction to the president's comments?
I don't even pay attention to what the guy even has to say anymore, because the reality is, look, he may have a little bit of dementia. It happens sometimes when you get older, but people have to remember Joe Biden's a liar. He's been a liar as long as he's ever been in government. I would assume that before then he was a liar, and he's not as fast at lying now. So when he says things, and as he said things throughout his historical career, or the history of his career in politics, you never get a true answer or a full answer. It's always filled with boastful nonsense or answers that somebody else actually carried through with and he takes the credit for. So in this case, as he gets older, he's just not as good at lying. And so it comes off as dementia, but I think he's just a slower liar. And if people put that into context, and what they're going to see is that if he wasn't qualified when he took the job originally as a politician, he's no more qualified now than he was then. He has just ridden this wave of lies and narcissism for over 40 years. And this is what happens when you put somebody like this at the top.
Some people might argue that having President Biden as our leader is a threat to national security, because America is now weaker than we've ever been. And that's not all. You know about the investigation going into his handling of the classified documents when he served in office. Previously, it shows the same thing. Take a listen to this, and I'll get your comment on the other side.
Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Herr, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly Biden, what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
What's your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, what Joe Biden has done, if we were in the government, we'd go to jail for, first of all. And that's the truth. Anybody who removes classified information, unless they're the declassifier, They do not have a right to remove that information. And that's something that's never talked about with Trump versus Biden. We're talking about information that was removed from the White House when Joe Biden was the vice president. The president is the ultimate declassifier, and they can declassify things that they feel should be declassified. So that's a big difference between Trump and Joe Biden. I actually don't agree with anybody taking classified information out of the White House and before it is declassified. So that's a big issue, you know. But here's the I have to point this out. You know, I am a constitutionalist. I serve this country. And the reality is, when I took an oath, I took an oath to the Constitution, and I did not take an oath to the people. I take an oath to the Constitution. We don't swear an oath to the people. We swear an oath to protect the thing that keeps those people free and give them opportunity. And these senators and congressmen like Jim Jordan and the rest of the people in Washington, D.C., they are just as big of a national security threat because they don't do anything to stop the Joe Bidens. They don't do anything to stop the Hillary Clintons. Jim Jordan rolled up his sleeves and took off his jacket and berated Hillary Clinton the same way he's doing here when Hillary Clinton was in office, and nothing came out of it. And until this Congress starts doing things that actually make a difference and stop this forward movement to the left, we're not going to see a change. That is a true national security threat as well.
It makes you want for term limits for our elected officials, because it's not right. If you go into office and you're making a certain amount of money or you're worth a certain amount and you come out and you're a million times richer, there's something wrong there. But also, I totally agree with you, because it seems like there's a lot of hoopla and people get angry almost like they're doing it for the next election cycle and they want to get a sound bite. I'm not saying that that's what's happening, but sometimes why is nothing happening? We've all talked about things like this and impeachment, and nothing's happening.
We have to look at the totality of the circumstances. When we investigate something in the FBI, we look at the totality of the circumstances before the SEALs go out and we attack a particular target. We look at the totality of the circumstances to build our plan. And what I see when I look at the totality of circumstances, I look at the history of the way Congress is ran, the way the GOP and the DNC are ran, who are picked to come on there. That's what's so interesting about Trump, is that he's so far out of that realm. But his biggest mistake, this is what's interesting, his biggest mistake when you look at his time as president was that he worked on their terms and he put some of those people in his cabinet. And what did they do then? They did the same thing they do here. They either backstab or they talk a big talk and nothing gets done. And I'll tell you, the solution to all this is the American people. Your show talks about faith. All these people out there who believe in the Lord Jesus and they have faith in him and in this country, or if they're Jewish and they're Jewish Americans or even Muslim Americans, if all the people in this nation realized that they are free and that they stood together and stopped this nonsense, they would realize that there's a huge game being played on us. And it's a game as old as history. It started in the Garden of Eden with a fruit that Adam and Eve were convinced to eat. This game is convinced everybody in the American public that they are less than these people in Washington, D.C. and in power. And we are, in fact, more, especially when we stand together. We are more. And that's the only solution, is if we stand together and force them or get them out, force them to do their job or remove them.
Well, I failed to say this previously, but thank you for your service. Sometimes saying that doesn't seem like enough. There are those of us, you know, Ted and I support our military and law enforcement, and we want to do everything we can to encourage people like you, you've authored a book. Tell us about Sheep No More.
Well, Sheep No More takes what I learned from being an attacker and a defender, and I've tried to teach that mindset to anybody who reads this book on how they can look at themselves from an attacker's point of view and then turn around and use that knowledge that they gain to better defend their life, their home, their schools, their businesses, their careers. But you have to look at yourself from an attacker's point of view. These people aren't rocket scientists, so you can do it. Nobody knows your vulnerabilities better than you. It's just a matter of how you look at yourself. And that book takes all that into account. And I'll say one thing about, and I appreciate you saying that about my service, but isn't it something that we have to stop and thank 1% of the population for their service, when the reality is we're all on the front line now, and we always have been in a free republic. You are on the front line. But when you take a step back and let other people step forward, what happens is that you end up getting comfortable and not serving the community and the people around you together. And that's what needs to change.
Yes, I agree. Jonathan, how can people find you and follow you on social media?
I'm on all over the place. You just look for Jonathan T. Gilliam, and I'm on Instagram and all that stuff. But I'll be honest with you with that too. I am tired of social media. I spend a lot of time working and building my company, United States Continued Service, and I've actually done that more and pulled away from media to the point where it's hard for me to go on social media because I see the same robotic movement of the people.
Well, we hope to change that. I'm going to get your book, and I want everyone watching to get your book as well. Jonathan Gilliam, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, and tell Ted I said God bless.
I will. God bless you. Okay, we've got so much more coming up. Don't go away.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. More people have heard about lab-grown meat and 3D-printed beef. How can that be good? Yuck. Well, here's what you can get if you go to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. I found this pure, clean, wholesome beef, grass-fed beef, at switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. And you know what? We got to support Patriot companies. We got to support USA products. And if you want to make a difference, this is what you can do by spending your hard-earned dollars on pure, clean beef. Who wants 3D printed beef? Not me. And you can make America great again. So support Patriots, support USA, and the never ever label. What that means is no mRNA, no antibiotics, no pesticides, no hormones. So here's how it works. Go to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com and you'll fill out a little bit of information, and then someone from my Patriot team is going to give you a call back and help you place your order. And you can get the same package that Ted and I get. Actually, I just got a text before I started doing the show that my order is shipped and it should be arriving today. And I can't wait, because it is delicious. I got to tell you that. Switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. Okay. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Many of our nation's leaders are trying to normalize evil, calling it good, and standing up and applauding evil actions. Here's a case in point. There was a promise made by President Biden during his State of the Union address. Take a listen.
If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
So what should a Christian American response be? Joining us live now to discuss, author of Woke Jesus, Pastor Lucas Miles. Lucas, thanks for joining me.
Hey, good to be back with you.
It's good to see you. So what's your reaction to what President Biden said?
You know, look, you're exactly right. This is calling something that is evil good, and the cheers and the just this frenzy that people get worked up into over this issue. And when you really break it down, all about the slaughter of innocent lives. And so I think that, you know, this reminds us that as Christians, yes, we have to pray. Yes, we have to stand. We have to make sure that our churches are preaching the truth. But we also have an obligation as citizens in this country, as long as we have the freedom to vote, as long as we have the freedom to use our voice, as long as we have the freedom to write our congressperson, we need to let people know where we stand. And we need to use every single means available to us within our legal system here and within the constitutional framework that we have in order to push back evil like this.
150%. I always end the show with Esther 4:14. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. I never thought I'd be here, Lucas, like having a patriotic faith and freedom show. But we have all got to do our part no matter what it is. If you find an opening, you've got to open your mouth. The Bible tells us to do that, right?
Yeah, look, I'm the same way. I didn't think that a lot of my ministry would be about these sort of issues. And unfortunately, it's not that, you know, I'm spending a lot of my time out there in the world trying to convince people on the left that they need to think differently, although we do some of that. But unfortunately, takes up a lot of my time is talking to pastors and actually convincing them that it's part of their job to preach the Word of God, the full counsel of the Word of God. And that includes dealing with these cultural issues from the pulpit. And I think we're where we are today because so many pastors have kind of put their head in the sand. They don't want to deal with this. They're afraid of splitting their churches. They're afraid of having people, you know, get mad at them and getting emails or whatever when they start, you know, actually addressing what the Bible has to say about these issues. You can do so in love, but we're here because we've looked the other way, because we didn't think about these things. And unfortunately, this is a time where all of us need to be able to use our voice and really the platforms that we have to remind America to do what I call to be the conscience of the state, through biblical principles.
In the clip we just saw, Democrats were cheering the right to kill the unborn. How can you be a Christian and be for abortion?
Yeah, look, I we hear people say things like you can't be a Democrat and be a Christian. And look, I'll give a little bit softer answer that might have a little bit more sobriety to it. And I would say this is it's really hard to embrace the leftist platform and be a disciple. It's virtually impossible. There's so many things are contrary to the Word of God. It's not my job to question somebody's salvation, but I do know what fruit looks like of discipleship. And when you start seeing people's lives that they have abandoned any sort of, you know, personal responsibility, any sort of, a biblical framework for issues such as life, issues such as marriage, sexuality, gender, et cetera, you start moving outside of the realm of discipleship real quick.
So what other areas do you think that society is calling good evil?
Yeah, look, I think the issue of sex and gender is a major one. I think even if we take this outside of the LGBT issue, which obviously is a major area that we see this, you know, even within more traditional relationships, so much of our culture has still this kind of hookup culture. I think we see this even among conservatives that, you know, maybe not as much Christian conservatives, although this is happening there somewhat too. But, you know, we still see conservatives that have this same framework about dating and this sort of, just casual approach to relationships that I think is a compromise for people. I think that we also see this in areas of finances. I think it's how we do business. I think in there's these little bitty compromises that we make. We wonder how we get to these big issues like abortion and LGBT issue and these sort of things. You don't just end up there overnight. You end up there by compromising on your values little by little along the way. And okay, I think that's slippery slope.
Those are such great examples of how society can look at something and see two different things. How do you, in your book, Woke Jesus, you talk about cultural Marxism and how it's invading American society. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, look, our universities have been invaded. I mean, there has been a hijacking of American education system, and we see that specifically the university level, but it's happening all the way through K-12 as well, is that students are going to university and they're getting radicalized. And this is happening within Christian universities as well. And maybe not radicalized to the same degree that we're seeing, maybe at some more prominent leftist universities, but they're being introduced to various forms of progressive Christianity. And so when you have pastors in seminary that are getting trained by woke professors, pastors, it produces a progressive pastor that goes out into the pulpit and they're teaching their parishioners with this sort of progressive ideology about Jesus, about the church, etc. And you also have pastors that have just kind of embraced this idea that, you know, they're not supposed to talk about these issues from the pulpit and everything else. So there's this introduction to these concepts happening at the university that's then kind of getting pushed out into whether it be the church or into the marketplace. And we're seeing that just continually perpetuated. And it's really just been a domino effect in a lot of ways. But we have to stop that cycle. We have to stop that holistically. We have to, you know, change what's being taught in the pulpits, returning to biblical values. We have to return to constitutional values within, you know, the state and in the marketplace. You know, we have to really promote, just a realm of free ideas and capitalism in order to push out some of these faulty ideas that really have no business and they're being propped up by, state funding and everything else that's keeping these going.
Lucas, do you get any backlash from your supporters about being so conservative? I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but yeah. Just curious, do you?
Well, I don't get backlash from my supporters. They're behind us, but we certainly get backlash out there, you know, from whether it be on social media or on various other platforms or email, et cetera. And look, I actually was just talking with somebody today. He goes, "How do you deal with, you know, that when you have so many people that are maybe standing against what you're doing?" I mean, anytime you stand up for good, anytime that you decide that, you know, that you're going to kind of shine the light in the world, there's going to be people that want to come and snuff that out. And I think that this is where it comes back to finding our identity in Christ, to really, you know, remembering why we're doing this, that we're living for an audience of one, that, you know, as much as I would love for everybody to love me, I get a little nervous if nobody has any problems with what I'm saying, because that means I'm starting to sound a little bit like the world. A biblical worldview is radical, and it is radical, especially in today's day and age. And I think that we should expect some pushback. But I think that, you know, it's up to us to kind of soberly look at our hearts, make sure that we're still operating in love, that we haven't forgot why we're doing this. It's easy just to be zealous for truth, but forget about God's grace. We have to have grace and truth present at the same time that protects us from kind of falling into, you know, being just so dogmatic that we lose sight of why, you know, we're actually preaching this message to begin with. And so there's certainly opposition. But thankfully, you know, God's seen us through it. And despite it, you know, like we see in the early church in Acts, every day I feel like our ministry grows despite that opposition and maybe even as a result of it.
I love that. I would certainly rather go to a pastor to your congregation where you're speaking truth, but also we've got to get involved politically.
Yeah.
Pastor Lucas Miles, thank you so much for joining me. How can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can head to influencenetwork.com. That's no I in the front, just capital N, or lucasmiles.org. And we'd love to connect.
I love that. Well, I hope to see you soon and tell your wife you said hello.
I will do. Thank you so much. Likewise with Ted.
Thank you. Up next, you don't want butter made from carbon dioxide, do you? Really? But it's a product that might be hitting stores near you. We'll discuss why and my breaking news coming up. Don't go away.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Have you been feeling off lately, like dizzy, or you have headaches or short-term memory loss? EMF radiation could be making you sick, but thankfully there is a solution. Silver woven clothing can block EMF radiation and 5G from causing harm to your body. Ted and I both have Faraday bags and they work. Unplug to recharge with Sparrow EMF protection. Go to sparrowgear.com and use the code FAITH to get 10% off. That's sparrowgear.com and the code is FAITH. Okay, here's my breaking news, my exciting news. I'm back. I'm back on Twitter. After 2 years, I was banned for 2 solid years, and somehow I got back. But so thank you. Follow me at Shemaine Nugent on Twitter. I'm going to be posting a lot more there. I post a lot about health and wellness. And speaking of health, You need to eat real food for your own health, not fake lab-grown meat or butter made from carbon dioxide. And that's what billionaire Bill Gates' latest project is. Aside from quietly buying up much of America's farmland, he's also invested in a company that wants to eliminate animal fats and instead of create them, from an alternative sources like, yes, carbon dioxide, yum. Sounds delicious. In fact, they want to eliminate all animals, farms, and crops. They say it's for climate change, but our next guest thinks the reasons may be more self-serving. Joining us live now to discuss, Patriot Doctor on Brave TV, Dr. Jason Dean. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Shemaine. This is a perfect subject to talk with you about, of all people, what some of the best hunters in the world.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, we'll never starve as long as they allow us to have our own deer, which they're coming after, but I'll talk to you about that. So tell us about the latest evil plan by Dr. Bill Gates. And by the way, Jason, he's not a doctor. So why is anyone, he's a computer programmer. So why would anybody want to take health advice from him?
Well, it's a good question. And if you look at the pictures of him or the videos of him, he really has man boobs growing and he has quite the gut. So we know for sure, like, he's not a healthy person. Don't take a health advice from him. This is really quite interesting because, we live in this world. They claim that there's toxic masculinity, when in reality, the most guys that I see out traveling or in restaurants, and you know, you guys live in the, like, out in the boondocks, which is a good thing. So I don't know if you see this as much, but you do travel. American men are in a real, real problem situation, meaning their testosterone is in the dumps. They're not men in it anymore. Women are having problems with their hormones as well. And I come at this from a hormone standpoint because history tells us, our ancient ancestors tell us, that one of the reasons why we're having such health problems and hormone problems is because we have gotten rid of, or are getting rid of, they're trying to get rid of, animal fats and animal proteins. We are a human species that is supposed to be on animal proteins and animal fats for our health, and plants are medicine. So we know the globalists, Bill Gates, et cetera, they want us destroyed. We clearly know that they perform eugenics, that this is genocide in general, what they're doing across the board. They're also taking away farmland. But on top of that, he is working to convince people that animal proteins are bad for us. The farmland needs to be used to grow plant-based foods and turn that into, I don't know why they want animal meats looking, they want it to look like animals, but they want it from plants, which makes no sense to me. But with this latest one, they're worried about palm oil trees, which, by the way, regrow like bamboo. They grow very quickly, so we could very easily regenerate that farming. But on top of that, they're using petrochemicals, so paraffin wax with carbon dioxide. They're using this chemistry formula, Shemaine, to literally change our butter into what's called savor. So they're going to make petroleum-based, oil-based, from paraffin wax, butter that they're going to make their products out of. And they want to put this not only on store shelves, but they want chefs and restaurants to start using this. And they're talking within the next 1 to 2 years. So this is actually coming very quickly. And this is their overall goal, is to literally turn everything, Shemaine, that we do in America into something plant-based, but really petroleum and oil-based. And I'll tell you, I like my car running on petroleum-based products and gas, but I don't want our bodies running off petroleum-based products because that will cause major problems and disease long-term.
Absolutely. And people don't understand that when you talk about, they don't want to kill animals, and that's fine. But even though in the state of Michigan, there are 100,000 car deer accidents per year, and that's not even including the ones that aren't reported. You just get a little fender bender and you don't report it. But imagine every state. The wildlife has to be managed, and it's God's gift to us. But, you know, even if, let's just say you wanted to only have only grow vegetables, you would have to decimate that property. Every squirrel, every rabbit, every vole, every chipmunk, everything, and get rid of it and destroy it. How is that healthy?
Well, I remember watching the Rogan episode with Ted on it. And I had heard this before, but he kind of solidified it, which was, you know, the vegans and vegetarians, and of course, I love my vegans and vegetarians out there. I don't agree with how you eat, but I still love you. I hope the best for you, and someday you'll come back to the animal-based side. But they always claim that plant-based farming, exactly what Bill Gates is doing, along with all the other globalists stealing up farmland in the U.S., they claim that it's so much healthier. They claim, and also they claim it's humane because they're not killing animals. And I remember reading this before watching that episode, which was, we kill far more animals with the preparation and the farming of those actual plants than if we just actually have animals to actually eat, which is, and this is the crazy part from a nutrition standpoint. I don't think people realize this. We don't actually eat as much meat in America as people think we do. It's actually quite limited. But here's the issue. If our land was actually well-maintained, if our forests were well-maintained, if the hunting was well-maintained like hunters know to do, we actually would have more nutrition in our food than we currently do. The plant-based farming is actually taking nutrients out of the soil, which then obviously the animals are supposed to eat. If we reverse this and did this the proper way with regenerative farming, hunting the way hunters do it, we would actually have healthier people and we wouldn't eat as many animals, because one of the reasons why people eat so much commercial animals is because it's actually nutrient deficient. And so they end up eating more food. It's more calorie intake. So the whole point of this, Shemaine, is they claim that we're eating and consuming astronomical amounts. Well, one of the reasons that's occurring is it's astronomical amounts of terrible food, processed carbs, processed sugars, processed plant meats that's making America sick. If we went back to regenerative farming, hunting the way it's supposed to be done, which hunters do, we would actually not consume a lot of food at all because the nutrients would all be there and we wouldn't have to overconsume junk food. So, encompassing all of that, they kill far more animals. They're far more inhumane with their plant-based farming than if we went back to what our ancient ancestors were doing and returned America back to our soil.
I think a lot more people are returning to that. I've been a bow hunter now for 35 years, as long as I have been married to Ted, and I wasn't a hunter growing up. I didn't even like rock and roll, but shh, don't say it. Anyway, I didn't. It's the truth. It's not that I just wasn't interested in it. Now I appreciate it. But in the same thing with hunting, there was a time where I was afraid to tell people on social media that I was a hunter. Now, ever since COVID, actually, I'm proud of it. And I want to encourage other people, pick up a bow and arrow. I kind of learned backwards. I started with archery, and then I rarely gun hunt. But like I said, during COVID, we knew we weren't going to starve. We were fine. What would you say to people who are the average American family who is trying to take back their health? What would you recommend that they do? Where do they start? We got about a minute left.
Yeah, no. I start with nature. I start getting back to looking for local places that will actually carry meats, vegetables, etc. If you want to start in your backyard, that's fine. But start somewhere local. Go to a local farmer to actually get educated. Get out in the nature. Get rid of processed sugar. Get rid of refined carbohydrates, and go back to animals. Just good old fashioned food, real food. Put butter back in your diet, put lard, put coconut oils back in your diet, and that will be a good start. And then once you get really good at it, go learn a great skill and a great art like bow hunting, or even hunting with a gun, because ultimately it actually really brings you back to nature. But get back to real foods that heal the body, Shemaine.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Dr. Jason Dean, thank you so much for being here. How can people follow you on social media, or what's your website?
Yeah, go to bravetv.com, or I'm also on X, back again, @JasonDeanDC, @JasonDeanDC.
Well, I'm definitely going to follow you.
I appreciate it.
So good to see you. Thanks for joining me. Okay, up next, do you want your country back? So does our next guest, and she wrote a great song about it. We'll share that next.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
perhaps you were born for such a time as this. We all take simple things for granted, like what's in our water. Just a little bit of arsenic, maybe some pharmaceutical drugs or, you know, mRNA or VOCs, volatile organic compounds. Yuck. I found Century Wellness System that removes harmful toxins and enriches water with essential nutrients. It's way healthier and so much cheaper than buying plastic water bottles. Check out Century H2O and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. That's Century H2O and the code is HEALTHY10 for a discount. You know, I think many people can agree that America is in a state of crisis under this current administration. And a lot of us are left lost and nervous about the future of this country. And some people are finding peace in sharing their voices with the public. Well, for Alexis Wilkins, she is sharing her voice through song and is making waves across the nation for her music. Take a listen.
Sunday morning, spent in church, taking things for what they're worth. Say your prayers, let them know. Send one up for the ones not coming home. The ones not coming home. The American dream was a Cadillac, and the red, white, and blue showed them how you act. Things you got, you worked for. You didn't think twice, but not like you go.
Joining me live right now is Alexis Wilkins. Alexis, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You know, you're so beautiful and you have such a beautiful voice. What made you want to get into the music industry?
The music industry for me was a little bit of a accident from just loving songwriting and getting into that world. And then, of course, I love country music, and that was always something that I was passionate about. And so it just kind of happened, but it all stemmed from songwriting.
So is there one particular person that really inspired you to make music?
Gosh, you know what? I was born in the USA, obviously a huge fan of the USA, but I did live in England and Switzerland for a little bit growing up. And over there, when I was growing up, they weren't as big into country music as I think that they are now. And so I really just grew up on everything that my parents were listening to. I just grew up on 90s country and all of that. Honestly, the country music that I think still is the best. And so that was really the whole bulk of it for me is still super inspiring.
And you're a songwriter as well?
Yes, ma'am.
So what is your process? I know you probably know who my husband is. I know his process for sometimes music just flows. Sometimes he picks up a guitar and it flows out of him. And sometimes the words come first. Is there any particular process that you have?
It kind of depends. A lot of times for me, it's the idea and the title and then kind of building a whole story and song around that. You know, what I love about country is it is, as you know, the truth. And so if I can think of come up with a title or a pivotal idea and then build the whole story around that, then that's usually what I do.
I love that. And tell us about this initiative that you're working on right now about voting.
Yes. So I hear so often, you know, what can I do for this country? What can I do to help? And then in kind of the same breath, I hear, you know, well, my vote doesn't count. I just don't, you know, I voted in 2020 and I'm just not going to vote. And not only is that a really hard attitude to hear, because, you know, now is the time that we all really need to trudge forward together. It's not the time to give up. And so I thought, you know, if you see something, you should do something about it. And so I'm starting a voting initiative called Your Vote Counts. We're going to be announcing more soon. But just really to make sure that people get out there and don't go, you know, I'm just not going to vote. You know, there's a lot being done to make sure that your vote does count. And so what we need to do is show up in droves. And as President Trump says, make it too big to rig. And so I thought that if we can kind of get everyone on board with something and give a title to it, that it would hopefully help.
I love that. Do you think a lot of your peers are hesitant to vote? Like they just gave up, like what, my vote doesn't count, like you said?
a little bit. I think that, you know, my generation lacks grit and gumption as a whole. And that even goes for, you know, some of the conservative group. They have these values. They don't know what to do with them. They see on social media that, you know, leftists are really kind of in charge of what's going on right now is in the optics. You know, I don't agree with that, but with the optics. And so I think they look at it, and even though they hold these values to be true and they want this world to be better, they want a better world for their kids, they still look around and they go, how do I help it? You know, does my vote really make a difference? And I think we kind of see that rub of conservative values, but, you know, Gen Z kind of action. And so I figure if we can marry the two together and give some action to that attitude, we can hopefully fix it.
I love that. So in your Barbie dream world, not that you have one, but let's just say you're, who could you open up for? If you could open up for anybody, who would be the ultimate artist that you would like to open up for?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question. You know, I have to say, I guess I'll just give some props to one of my favorite people here, Mr. Lee Greenwood. I got to open up for last year, and that was honestly such a dream for me. You know, you can't get much more American with God Bless the USA. And so, and he's just been such a great person and has had some great advice and has just been fantastic to get to know over the process. And so I'd have to say that, even though it's already happened, there's so many people who are still singing, you know, incredible American country music. And so any of those people who are really standing up and standing up for our America, honestly.
It takes a lot. You have to be bold and brave. I end every show with Esther 414. You were born for such a time as this. And it takes people like you, Alexis, to be bold and brave. So thank you for what you're doing. What has the reaction been with your family? Have they encouraged you or discouraged you, your family and friends?
They've encouraged me, absolutely. My family is my biggest support system. My parents have always been incredible, and so I'm so grateful to them for not only supporting what I am passionate about, but also instilling conservative values into me and into my life. And so that's really why I am the way I am and where I am, and is because of them. Of course, the music industry, as you know, I'm sure very well, is an interesting place. And so are they supportive of the way that the music industry is? You know, it's challenging, yeah. But it's more because they don't want me to have to deal with it. Hence me kind of speaking up and going, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it my way. And the response from the fans and the people who listen to country music has been just so wholly positive. And so it's been really great to watch, but no, they're really supportive and I'm grateful.
Well, good for you. The music industry is quite complex, and I've met more people, more of my husband's peers, although he says he doesn't have any peers, but A-list celebrities who won't go near politics. In fact, he's had conversations with them. They want him to come on their podcast, and they'll always say, don't talk about politics. If you talk about politics, we're pulling the plug. And it's quite a shame because, you know, it makes you wonder why people like that aren't speaking out when they have the platform and they have the voice. So once again, God bless you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And where can people find you and follow you and support you?
I'm on Alexis Wilkins anywhere. You know, anywhere you have socials, it's at Alexis Wilkins. You can stream my music anywhere you listen to music. We're going to have some of the more Your Vote Count stuff coming up soon. I'm on True Social. I'm on Rumble. I have my show Between the Headlines over on Rumble that we're live streaming every Friday now. So anywhere, any of those places, you can find me.
Well, good for you. Yes, I did see your podcast. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
God bless. Okay, here's a fun fact. There is a protein bar that tastes great, and I want to tell you all about it because my goal is like to share people like Alexis. Like, what a bold and brave young woman to be doing what she's doing. And we have to stick together and support people like that. We have to support Patriot-owned businesses. But here's the next level. Patriot-owned candy bars that are actually protein bars, but they taste great. Like, I'm telling you, I promise you, I have Kingdom Candy at least every other day, if not every day. It's my new go-to meal replacement bar, and it's got natural ingredients like spinach, kale, turmeric, and pink Himalayan sea salt, and it's sugar-free, gluten-free, and zero trans fat. Go to shop.fmidr.com and use the code FAITH for a 15% discount. That's shop.fmidr, and the code is FAITH for a discount. You will love it. I promise. There's so much negativity going on in the world. Spiritual warfare is real. It absolutely is. And I want to encourage you, whenever you feel a little down, and that happens to me, I'll be honest, whenever you feel a little down or not full of hope, open the Bible and it will speak to you. That's why they call it the living word. Get in the word. And we have to, as Mark Wahlberg says, get prayed up, because we were born for such a time as this. And please don't ever think that you have to be, you have to have a big platform like Ted Nugent does, or a platform, a show like this, because God will put you exactly, God has put you exactly where he wants you. And it is true. You were born for such a time as this. Now, I mentioned my breaking news that I am back on Twitter or X, and it was 2 years that I was banned. I had a silly little 6-second video where I was actually lip syncing, and the text on it, 6 seconds, guys, the text on it was calling President Trump to ask when he's coming back. And the next morning I woke up and I was banned. I did appeal dozens of times, even since Elon took over, nothing, crickets. And then my son Rocco and a friend of ours, James Blades, were over and we were talking about that. And he's going, no, we've got to tweet to Elon and get him back. And so to them, and my husband Ted posted, Elon, hey Elon, what are you doing? Get my wife, Shemaine, back on Twitter. So I'm back on Twitter after a 2-year ban. You can follow me at Shemaine Nugent. I wrote this book, Killer House, because I get sick and almost died from toxic mold. And I'm here because no doctors could help me. I almost died. I couldn't even walk up a flight of stairs if my life depended on it. I had pre-emphysema and 4 different types of mold in my bloodstream. So I want to encourage you to become a seeker, become a searcher, become an investigative sleuth for your life and for your health. Follow me on social media and check out my website, ShemaineNugent.rocks. Esther 4:14 says, you were born for such a time as this. God bless.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.